Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Monday class, December 23rd, 2024, Zechariah.
All right, we have an announcement before we get started, and if it sounds like I have a cold, you're right. It's a humdinger, and I'll try not to get all of you sick. I don't even know what kind of a deal it is, but if Debbie can have heart attacks and be here every night, why, I can be here every night with a cold. Today is Francis' birthday, today the 23rd. Christmas is the 25th. You know, that's double dipping. That's great. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God, first of all, to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. By the way, the Christmas play was fantastic. Went absolutely fantastic. Deb invited several neighbors in our neighborhood. Three of them came to it, and they absolutely loved the whole thing. They gave Deb a big hug, and they gave me a big hug. And when we got home, why, we got a call, and one of the neighbors says, "I'm coming over with a present." I said, "Okay." And she came over, gave Deb another hug, gave me another hug. She said, "That was the greatest Christmas play I have ever seen." She said, "I don't know how those kids could read those lines. I couldn't read those lines." And she says, "You know, watching that slideshow and the music, I had goosebumps going up and down my arms while I was watching it." I said, "Yes, because that's what Christmas is really all about." And very few people anymore know what Christmas is really all about. But Randy and Dodie did a fantastic job. The kids were fantastic in all that they did. And there were a lot of people here that had never been here before. And that's what I was praying for, that God would bring by his hand of grace the people who needed to be here, unbelievers, to hear the grace gospel and what Christmas is truly all about. And that happened. And every year, Debbie's been putting on the Christmas play, and every year it gets better and better and better. All right. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, that because we have a relationship with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, that every single day can be Christmas. We thank you for the gift of your Son, the greatest gift ever given, the gift of your Son, the indescribable gift of your Son, to go to a cross and solve the world's problem of sin. The world has a hope, but it only has one, and that one hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. As we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This is Hal Lindsey report. Of course, Hal Lindsey is in heaven. He doesn't send the report down from heaven. Tom Gilbreth, he's the one who wrote this. Very good. A Bible-centered Christmas. It is a Christmas classic featuring two small boys with impossibly large heads. The one named Charlie cries out in frustration, "Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" And his friend says, "Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about." The boy with the answer is known as Linus. He takes center stage, and then he quotes the Bible, Luke 2:8-14. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid." Now, when you're sore afraid, you're really afraid. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not." At those words, "fear not," Linus drops his security blanket. "You don't need it. Fear not." And then he continues, "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, prosperity and blessing to those with whom he, God, is well pleased." And then Linus picks up the blanket and walks over to his friend. And he says, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown." Even in 1965, it was difficult to get Scripture into a prime time special on network TV. But Peanuts cartoonist Charles Schulz was determined to get the real meaning of Christmas into the program. And he chose a perfect passage from the Bible, one that tells a colorful and exciting story that is also rich with doctrine and biblical meaning. There are a surprising number of Christmas passages in the Bible, including the wise men story in Matthew chapter 2, We find many in the Old Testament, like Isaiah 9, verse 6, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. The hypostatic union of the Lord Jesus Christ, undiminished deity and true humanity, united in one person forever. We even find them in the New Testament letters. Galatians 4, 4 and 5 says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, His eternal Son, from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas. Born of a woman, the virgin birth, incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. Born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons, huios, adult sons, in union with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. One verse in particular does an amazing job of encapsulating Christmas. John chapter 1 tells us about the Word, the Logos, identifying Him as the Creator and the Lord, the second person of the Trinity. Then verse 14 says, and the Word, the Logos, was made flesh, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle that this world will ever know. And He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the uniquely born one of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Christmas. But the ultimate Christmas verse may be John 3:16. For God so loved the world so much. This is virtue love. This is impersonal love for the whole world. In spiritual death and total depravity, He loved mankind with infinite impersonal love for all mankind. He loved the world so much that He gave His uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that is worth celebrating. Merry Christmas. So Charlie Brown asked the question, isn't there someone who knows what Christmas is all about? And Linus had the answer. Now, for most of the people around the world, Christmas is all about family, friends, football, food, FFFFFF. For others, Christmas is all about Santa Claus. I don't know why. He's dead. Santa Claus is dead, but Jesus Christ is alive. It's all about Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Deb and I drive around to look at all of the Christmas stuff out there. Now, we are surprised this year in our area, there are more nativity scenes than ever before. Ever before, more nativity scenes. But you go to some places, all you see is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman, Santa Claus, and today you got to have Minions. And for still others, it's having a Christmas tree. And one of my worst, I hate the song, O Tannenbaum. Why would you sing to a Christmas tree? O Tannenbaum, O Tannenbaum. Why would you sing to a damn Christmas tree? It doesn't make any sense to me. Why not sing to the living and true God? So for others, it's a Christmas tree, it's Christmas lights, it's mistletoe, it's eggnog, and I don't even like eggnog, so don't give me any eggnog. I don't want eggnog. Singing carols, if you're going to sing carols, let's sing the real ones. Biblical carols, those are fantastic. And what we had Sunday morning before the Christmas play, Josh Groban and all those songs, oh, that guy just absolutely knocks it out of the ballpark. He is great. And there's something else, giving gifts. And so here are people running all around this city. You can't even get a parking spot when you go into these different places because all the people are in there trying to find gifts to put, I guess, under the Christmas tree or wherever you put them. Giving gifts. Now that last one, giving gifts, that does have a relationship to what Christmas is all about. In fact, it even helps describe what Christmas is. On that very first Christmas, there was the giving of gifts. Magi from the east came to worship the Christ child, the King of the Jews. They came to worship the Messiah. They came to worship a king, not a baby. They came to worship a king. And that baby in the manger was the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And they came to worship the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And they brought gifts for this king. They brought gold and frankincense and myrrh that they gave to the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords in that manger. Now I had you turn to Matthew chapter 2. And you're going to see, now we are studying on Thursday night about the ruler of planet Earth, who is a fallen angel, Satan or the devil. And I told you, you would be distracted by everything in the, everything to keep you not to be here and get those classes. And I see that all the time. In fact, some of you are live in other parts of the country and you say, you get all the classes, but that Thursday night class is in the spam folder. Who put it there? Satan? He didn't want you to get it. He didn't want you to learn about who and what he is, what he's really like. I told you this kind of thing was going to happen. And for others of you, it doesn't take much to distract you away from Bible teaching. You just, you get a hangnail and you're out of here. You know, you're gone. But Thursday night class, we're learning about the ruler of planet Earth, our enemy. And if you're going to win the invisible war of the angelic conflict, you have to know your enemy. You have to know your enemy. And that's our Thursday night class. And you're going to see that here. Satan had an objective. The first part of the objective was historical. He was going to kill the Messiah right after birth. Going to kill him. He wins the angelic conflict. That takes place. Who is Satan's man at that point? Well, he is Herod the Great. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. This is Herod the Great. And Herod the Great, he liked to tell everybody he was a Jew. He wasn't a Jew. He was an Edomite. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And they asked, where is the one who has been born king? He'd born king of the Jews. We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Come to worship the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And he's just a baby, but he's the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. When King Herod, Herod the Great, heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ, the Messiah, was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of all my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly. And found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. No, he doesn't want to go and worship him. He wants to go and kill him. He is Satan's man at this point to kill the Messiah. And if he does, he wins the angelic conflict and we have no hope. We have no Savior. We have no Redeemer. We're still dead in our sins. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed, great happiness. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So there, you see the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God connected with the angelic conflict and Satan's objective to kill him as a baby. So one, the Magi were the first Gentiles who worshiped the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, the Christ child, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one in hypostatic union. And they brought gifts to the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Now, There are many of you that assemble in Upland Bible Church to worship the King, Jesus Christ. And as you assemble in Upland Bible Church to worship the King, there are two gifts that you must come and bring. Two gifts. If you don't have these, then stay home. That doesn't take much for any of you to do anyway. You stay home most of the time. But you come with two gifts. And those two gifts are positive volition to God and the Word of God. And genuine humility. Respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor teacher who teaches it. Those are the gifts you bring. And if you don't bring those gifts, then stay home. Because you're wasting your time and my time too. Two. The greatest gift of all is the gift that God the Father gave to the world. The greatest gift of all is the gift that God the Father gave to the world. Christmas is about God's indescribable gift, His Son. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. God the Father gave the gift of His Son, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Lord Jesus Christ. The indescribable gift. Three, at Christmas, we celebrate God's gift of love to the world. God's gift of love to the world. And that love is, God has infinite virtue love. And here, it's infinite impersonal love for all mankind. For all mankind in spiritual death, in total depravity, God loves the entire world with infinite impersonal love for all. So at Christmas, we celebrate God's gift of love, impersonal love for all mankind. Impersonal love to the world. Jesus, who is the Christ, who is the Messiah. John 3:16, for God loved the world. Infinite impersonal love for all mankind. God loved the world so much that He gave His uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall never perish. Shall never perish, but have eternal life. Four. Eternal life is a gift from God to anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Eternal life is a gift from God to anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, the grace gospel. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace, grace means God does all the work. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And that salvation is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one should boast. Five. God delivered the gift of love, His Son, in Bethlehem on that very first Christmas. God delivered the gift of love, virtue love, His Son in Bethlehem on that very first Christmas. And this was impersonal love for all mankind. And Jesus Christ said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." And He said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it," knowing He would be rejected by mankind. He'd be rejected by His own people, treated as a common criminal, laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, spat upon, thorns crushed on His head, beaten to the point His closest friends couldn't even recognize Him. And knowing that, knowing His total rejection, that's why Randy and Dodie, what a fantastic presentation they gave, the rejection of the Savior, His rejection by mankind. And He willingly came knowing He would be rejected, hated, despised, laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, and beaten and beaten and beaten until He couldn't even be recognized by His closest friends. What is that? Jesus Christ had infinite impersonal love for the whole world. So God delivered the gift of virtue love, His Son, in Bethlehem on that very first Christmas. Six, that first Christmas was the greatest miracle that the world will ever know. The greatest miracle that the world will ever know. There is no miracle as great as the miracle of that very first Christmas. Seven, Christmas is the celebration of the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. Christmas is the celebration of the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. Eight, the eternal Son of God willingly left heaven. He willingly left glory. God the Father designed Operation Grace, the cross, and the eternal Son of God, God the Son, said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." And that just blows me away that the eternal Son of God would say, "Yes, sir," knowing everything, all of His rejection through the incarnation. And He said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." So eight, the eternal Son of God willingly left heaven and left glory, and in genuine humility, He took on true humanity so that He could go to the cross and solve the world's problem of sin. He is the only person who has solved the world's problem of sin. He is the only Savior. He is the only hope for the world. So the eternal Son of God willingly left heaven and left glory, and in genuine humility, He took on true humanity so that He could go to the cross and solve the world's problem of sin. Nine. if he says no to the Father? He said, yes, sir. But if he said no, sir, to the Father, then all mankind is helpless and hopeless and lost. Everything involved in his incarnation and virgin birth was rejection, 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 rejection. He said, yes, sir, knowing that rejection. If he had said, no, sir. You see, that's the difference between Jesus Christ and me. I would have said, no, sir. Look, we're God. I mean, I'm not God, but I'm just putting this in here. We're God. Let's wipe them all out and create a new batch. And start from scratch. That's what I would have done. So now you know I'm not God. I know some of you were concerned. So if he had said no, sir, to the plan of the Father, all mankind is helpless and hopeless and lost. Without that first Christmas, the world has no hope. The world has no hope. 10. But because of that first Christmas and the incarnation of the eternal Son of God, incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, and then the cross, the whole world has a hope. For on the cross, the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, poured them out on the God-man, Jesus Christ, and judged them in him once and for all. Sin has been paid for in full by the undiminished deity and true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union on the cross. 11, in fact, Jesus Christ is the only hope that this world has. Jesus Christ is the only hope that this world has. Now I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 1. Maybe you don't have to turn too far. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a man of virtue and honor and integrity, and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son. Now listen, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Jesus. And then he tells them why. Because he will save his people from their sins. That's what that name Jesus is all about. It comes from the Hebrew Yashad, to save, to deliver. Because he will save his people from their sin. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And the prophet is Isaiah in Isaiah 7 verse 14. And this was given by Isaiah 700 years. 700 years. Before the incarnation and virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. 700 years. How long have we been here, the United States of America? Okay, I won't ask any more of those hard questions. Has it been 300 years? No. 400 years? No. 500? No. 600? No. 700, that would be a big fat new. 700 years before the incarnation and virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did exactly what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. And he took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she had given birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Now, Jesus is the transliteration of the Greek proper noun Jesus. I can do better than that. Jesus. And that's transliterated Jesus. But Jesus is the same as the Hebrew name Joshua. And Joshua looks like this in the Hebrew, Yeshua. Boy, I am really... There we go. Y Shava S H long U A I N. Yeshua. And Yeshua, well, let's get a couple of things. Yeshua comes from the Hebrew verb Yasha. So Yeshua, Joshua, comes from the Hebrew verb Yasha. Y-A-S-H-A-I-N. Yasha. And Yasha means to rescue. It means to deliver. It means to save. To rescue, to deliver, to save. Now Joshua was a great deliverer who led the nation Israel to military victory over the Canaanites. But we have a greater deliverer than Joshua. We have Jesus. So, two, the greatest deliverer that the world will ever know is Jesus. The greatest deliverer that the world will ever know is Jesus. Three, he rescues and delivers the believer in four great victories. He rescues and delivers the believer in four great victories. First of all, he has saved those who believe in him. Eternal salvation. He saved them. He has delivered or saved those who believe in him, faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works. He has delivered us from our sins. He solved mankind's sin problem by his work on the cross. So that's first of all. Second, he delivers us from being a casual, I'm sorry. I did not want to be a distraction. So I apologize. That's 100% wrong. But sometimes there's nothing I can do about it. Just ask my wife in bed with me. All night long, I'm going through this. So, second, he delivers us from being a casualty in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. Through the grace provision of the unique spiritual life of the church age. What a fantastic grace provision. The unique spiritual life of the church age. So second, he delivers us from being a casualty in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict through the grace provision of the unique spiritual life of the church age. Third, he will rescue and deliver one generation of church age believers from the tribulation by means of the rapture. So he will rescue and deliver one generation of church age believers from the tribulation by means of the rapture. And fourth, he will provide us with a resurrection body to live with him forever in eternity. The final victory. That is, he will deliver all believers from eternal condemnation and judgment in the lake of fire. So he is the greatest deliverer that the world will ever know. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle that the world will ever know, was also prophesied 700 years before the incarnation and virgin birth of the Messiah. In not only in Isaiah 7:14, but also in Micah 5, verse 2. So turn over to Micah 5, verse 2. Micah 5, verse 2. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you, one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. That's because he is the eternal Son of God. Micah 5, verse 2. Now, Micah and Isaiah were contemporaries. They lived at the same time. His prophecy was 700 years before the incarnation and virgin birth. Isaiah's prophecy was 700 years before the incarnation and virgin birth. They were contemporaries, Micah and Isaiah. Now that brings us to where Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Unto us a child has been born. Unto us a son has been given. And the government will be on his shoulder. That's the second advent. When he comes back at the second advent. The first part of verse 6 is the first advent, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. In hypostatic union. For unto us a child is born, that's the true humanity of Jesus Christ. And then, to us a son is given, that's the eternal deity of Jesus Christ. And together you have the hypostatic union, undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. That's the first advent. And the government will be on his shoulders, that's the second advent. When he returns at the second advent, Satan will be put in prison for 1,000 years, and the Lord Jesus Christ will rule planet Earth. And what here is the unique celebrityship of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he will be called Wonder Counselor, not Wonderful. This is not an adjective, this is a noun. Wonder Counselor, Miracle Counselor, Mighty God, the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, world peace and prosperity, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne. And over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. Boy, we haven't seen that in the world, have we? Going to have perfect justice and righteousness. Why? Because the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords will be ruling planet Earth. From that time on, and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty, Jehovah Tsevaoth, literally the Lord of the armies, will accomplish this. Now this is absolutely a phenomenal prophetical passage of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And I have apologized to you. I don't want to be a distraction to any of you. At all. And so I apologize. And if you want to shoot up a prayer that God will either heal me of this or take me to heaven, I'll be tickled to death on either one of those. Now, bring in the little people. Bring in the little people. Charlie, good to see you, Charlie. Yeah, that's great. Okay. Was Charlie here for the Christmas play? Oh, it was great. You loved it. Okay. I am going to put this here. Now, you have all been introduced to the divine viewpoint of the night before Christmas. Debbie is the one who wrote the divine viewpoint of the night before Christmas. And it's fantastic, and they're still out there if you want to take some of those with you. I wrote another one. A Visit from Nick. You can tell right away that's got class. A Visit from Nick. And I've been doing this for years upon years upon years. And some of you have heard it. And you probably know it better than I do. This is great, Charlie. Pay attention now. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the church not a creature was stirring. There wasn't even a chirp. The notebooks were opened with attentive care in hopes that Bible doctrine soon would be there. The congregation was settled all snug in their seats, expecting divine viewpoint from their pastor teacher who exegetes. With the kids in the nursery and I in my pulpit, we opened our swords for an hour of worship. When out in the lot there arose such a clatter, I sent out a deacon to see what was the matter. Away to the doors he flew like a rabbit to see who was making that horrible racket. The light in the parking lot shone on the cars, reflections of light from casinos afar. When what to his wondering eyes should he see but a little old fat man invading our privacy. This character was so sly and so slick. The deacon yelled back, "It's that troublemaker, Nick." He drove back and forth doing a wheelie or two, and then he whistled and shouted and said, "Hey, you! I have just the thing that your church needs, a lot of programs and some human good deeds. Cut out some classes and add a choir, and then your attendance will grow higher and higher. As dice at the crap tables fly and roll, so this self-righteous fat man began to stroll. Up to the church doors he swaggered in pride, with a bag full of human good presents beside. And then, all of a sudden, I heard in the hall an arrogant jackass with no manners at all." It was Daria's jackass. "I was using the overhead and looking around when into the auditorium came Nick with a bound. He was dressed all in red from his head to his bust, seeking attention and satisfying his approbation lust. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, obviously a troublesome meddler just opening his pack. Oh, he would never commit an overt sin, you see, but he was an example of religious hypocrisy. On the outside, all beautiful, cheery, and merry. On the inside, like dead men's bones ready to bury. Mental attitude sins filled his soul with a stench. Jealousy, vindictiveness, and all sorts of self-righteousness. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a boo, spewing forth gossip as only a busybody would know. He was chubby and plump, lacking self-discipline. His God was his belly going on an emotional binge. He said, I know when you are sleeping. I know when you're awake. I know when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Good catch. Talk about invasion of privacy. Stop, I said. I knew now that I definitely had something to dread. As Nick laid his finger on the side of his nose, two deacons seized him and encouraged him to go. He jumped in his rod and revved up his engine, tore down the road, and much to his chagrin, he heard me exclaim as he drove down the track, Bah, humbug to you, and don't ever come back. Merry Christmas. That's it. Merry Christmas.